You're listening to EPN, the ePodcast Network.
This is Enterprise Radio and your host, Eric Dye.
Welcome to Enterprise Radio. This is Eric Dye. Enterprise Radio is your EPN channel for exclusive interviews with entrepreneurs, small business owners, and top executives who have experienced great success, as well as the sharing of their latest creations, products, and or services that can help you build your business, leading to business success. Today we are with Owen Cupp, Master of Science in Electrical Engineering, CTO at Marketing Corporation of America, and manager of the New Leaders Growth Model on Covestor.com. Owen, a privilege to have you this morning here on Enterprise Radio.
Thank you, Eric. Same here.
So you think the market's behavior has changed since the last financial crisis, and is it possible to still win the risk facing investors?
Yeah, I mean, a lot of people have thought that, you know, the market's behavior with high-frequency trading and a lot of the new regulations that, you know, I can't get ahead in the market, it's rigged against me, the market is you know, not an option for my financial future. And when you go back in time and look at least American markets going back to 1880, and I've done that and have a lot of data from that, you find that, you know, manipulation is part of that. A lot of the great investors like Bernard Baruch and Nicholas Darvis, you know, in the 1920s and 1950s faced the same type of volatility, institutional movements of finances. And when you look on the timelines that happened, it's very, very similar. So while media, you know, has to push the booms and busts and so forth, when you look at the patterns in the market, they're very much similar, and the timeline in which events occur is the same. So even though our news today is a 24-hour cycle and it appears to be accelerating and moving faster, I find that the underlying behaviors and anatomy of the market is very, very much the same as it was back in the age of the telegraph.
Has some good data and information to share. I understand also you have researched stocks back to the 19th century and have commodity prices from clay tablets chiseled back in 900 BC. How does that help you in today's fast-paced markets?
Yeah, so, you know, I was looking at if one were able to remove the hype of the news and, you know, what Asian markets are doing at 3 in the morning, what U.S. markets are doing at 6 in the morning, that, you know, all of that panic and fear and psychological emotions where people can't sleep. You know, what faced people, you know, centuries and even millennia ago, and is any of that data available? And when you find, you know, going back to the Civil War in this country, there were, you know, concerns about interest rates on yields when President Lincoln was trying to finance the wars, and it was very similar to what we see today, you know, uncertainty with the bond markets, stock markets. But you had a lot of folks that succeeded. There were a lot of new industries that came out, such as the railroads and industrials, that really prompted a lot of growth. And what was also fascinating is that even J.P. Morgan back in the 1910s went over into you know, the Middle East and had archaeologists excavate old clay tablets from the Babylonian empires and found tablets where they were tracking on a monthly basis silver, wine prices, et cetera. And a lot of these were in the J.P. Morgan library but were translated within the last decade or so and have recorded prices. And then when you look at those prices, sure enough, it looks the same type of boom and bust that those people were dealing with, you know, going back into, you know, BC times. And they were doing, and they were tracking the prices, which is interesting, in the hopes of finding cycles that repeat over and over again, and for the kings of the day and the governments to try and create a fair and orderly market. So I think that pursuit has remained unchanged.
Really interesting. Now, are you a technical or a fundamentals-based investor?
Yeah, that's a really good question. So even though I'm looking at, you know, prices and cycles, and folks say, well, you know, if you're looking at history, are you you know, just trying to find something that repeats? Well, yes. I mean, history rhymes. However, fundamentals are important. So I would answer that on both. I call myself a techno-fundamentalist. There are others out there, of course. I think 90% of it, though, is fundamentals. You have to have, you know, the proverbial lemonade stand making money. If a company is not profitable, doesn't have decent margins, then it's not going to do well over the long term. And I want to see long-term growth in any financial endeavor. So fundamentals are very, very, very important. However, technical indications such as historic prices and then the underlying market action are critical. And as one, you know, gets more experience at this, I think the masters of the market are very good at finding the correct technical price point where they're paying the correct price for what the value that the fundamentals are based on. So combining the two and having a strong grasp of both is very, very important.
I'm sure the listeners are curious on this question, the economy being a challenging one. What are the industries that you find are delivering growth for shareholders?
Right. So you know, we have numbers where, you know, unemployment figures are unfortunately rising, et cetera. However, there is a lot of growth in the United States and in pockets around the world. We have a lot of new industries in this country. There may be small areas of resurgence of manufacturing. If you look at solar installations, even automobile manufacturers, there's a lot of companies that are offering new services that are innovative in those areas and are bringing value to investors, increased value. Some older industries are realizing that they need to innovate. And wherever you find an industry that's innovating, they are delivering growth. So while the general backdrop remains uncertain, and there will always be uncertainty going back hundreds and thousands of years, finding those innovators in those industries that are offering new things that make people's lives better, there's a lot of opportunity out there.
Today we're joined by Owen Cupp, Master of Science in Electrical Engineering, CTO at Marketing Corporation of America, and manager of the new Leaders Growth Model on Covestor.com here on Enterprise Radio, a part of the Entrepreneur Podcast Network. Owen, how do you consider and select companies in those industries that are new leaders?
Right. So there's, you know, 7,000 companies more or less in the stock market. I usually group them within a couple dozen industry sectors and then further drill down into a couple hundred industry subgroups. So I'm looking for those industries that have a high liquidity stocks that are doing well, bringing high return on equity. I really want to see an increasing quarterly EPS number, so 3 to 5 quarters of accelerating EPS is absolutely, if it's not making money, I'm not interested. I want to be in with a profitable company, but I want to see an accelerated growth rate. I usually like to see lower beta stocks, however, which is a kind of a market anomaly based on the CAPM model, but lower beta stocks actually do outperform the market, even though one would say you have to take on more risk. The selection of the companies, though, once if you find those industries that are doing well, the innovators, and you screen for those fundamental aspects, you will find a lot of companies that appear. You know, we've seen that recently with, you know, like I mentioned earlier, the automobile manufacturers. I mean, I think it's great you have Tesla Motor Companies. I do not own a position currently in it, but you have a new entrepreneur who's founded that company, and he's selling $100,000 electric cars profitably in the face of, you know, traditional auto manufacturers who had needed bailouts and so forth. So that's a real success story. And then he's got sister companies in another industry group doing solar installation. There's a lot of new, you know, retail internet, stamps.com, overstock.com. Again, I don't have positions in these currently, but, you know, we hear about problems with the post office, yet you have an innovator and a company that figured out how to deliver, you know, postage solutions to consumers profitably, and they have a large following. So there's many, many examples of these types of innovative companies in the market. Finding those with the best fundamentals helps, you know, whittle the list down to a manageable amount to then look to spot the technical price points where I would like to take a position.
Why do you favor individual stocks over ETFs in your model?
Yeah, I think ETFs are a great offering in the market. In some cases, they have a tax advantage versus traditional mutual funds. Traditional mutual funds are also, the standard offering. I think one would have a better opportunity for more growth following the individual stocks. One thing about ETFs is they're just another iteration of the old pools of investors. They're a basket of a security. They're a derivative. They're a derivative that's traded on the market. So they're always based on something else, whether it be a commodity or a basket of stocks or an industry group. Even the S&P 500 ETF is based on the 500 stocks that underlying the S&P 500. So you want growth, and I want outperformance. So while it may be good for some diversification measures, and you'd have to speak to your financial advisor for what's appropriate, but I think you're going to get a better percent return if you concentrate on the individual stocks directly versus relying solely on ETFs.
And lastly, stocks that pay high dividend yields have been popular with investors. Do you seek those companies out?
Yeah, I mean, everyone appreciates getting a dividend check regularly in the quarterly mail or whenever they issue a special dividend. I do not look solely for high dividend yields. It's a very hot market right now because people are needing yields, especially as the population ages. Bond yields, are inching up, but they're still very low for people that need an income. I think the solution is if you find those growth stocks and they're in them in appropriate times and you are up 20, 30, 40%, which is possible with these leaders, if you need the income, then just sell off a portion of your capital appreciation, and then that's your income. Now, that sounds maybe more difficult, but I've witnessed, a lot of other folks who invest in, company that offers a 2.5% yield, but then the stock will drop 20%. So, yeah, they got the 2.5% dividend check, maybe at a lower tax bracket, but then they lost 25% of their capital. So that's a situation that I would like to avoid. A lot of growth companies do not offer dividends because they're plowing back their profits into R&D and maybe acquisitions or other strategic moves, whereas if a company is issuing dividends, it may indicate that it's later in the business cycle and not so much in a growth-oriented phase. But, yeah, if you find a growth company that's got a dividend yield, all the better, but the focus should be on that underlying principal appreciation from the growth.
Before you go, how about telling our listeners where they can get more information and to also be in direct contact with you online?
Sure. The best way to find me is on LinkedIn.com, another great company that's innovative in the human resource professional business contact. So you can reach me at just search for me, Owen Cupp, C-U-P-P, under Marketing Corporation of America. And the Covestor.com portfolio model webpage is covestor.com/Owen-Cupp, C-U-P-P.
Very good. And quickly, Ed, in conclusion, what advice or tip do you have for our listeners on the topic that we have been covering today?
Yeah, I think everyone should remember that the world population is growing. The number of innovators and entrepreneurs in the world has never been higher. And there are tremendous growth opportunities available now for investors to grow with these new leaders.
Certainly been good to have you. Great insight. Certainly eye-opening for the listeners to be of great help and assistance. We've been speaking with Owen Cupp, Master of Science in Electrical Engineering, CTO at Marketing Corporation of America, and manager of the new Leaders Growth Model on Covestor.com. And the website of reference is Covestor.com. Also, to be in direct contact with Owen Cupp there, it's Covestor.com/Owen-Cupp. Owen, thanks so much for joining us here today on Enterprise Radio.
Thank you, Eric.
You're welcome. And this is Eric Dye, and you've been listening to Enterprise Radio, a part of EPN, the Entrepreneur Podcast Network. Check us out on Facebook and receive exclusive content that you certainly do not want to miss. And once again, we do thank you for tuning in.
Thanks for listening to Enterprise Radio here on EPN. For more information or to subscribe to this podcast, visit epodcastnetwork.com. This is the ePodcast Network.